This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelworth, the author, Raith Abdulahad. He's also the journalist, Raith Abdulahad. His new book is A Stranger in Your Own City, Travels in the Middle East Long War. Raith, I learned from you that you saw Saddam Hussein, the leader of necessity, twice, once as a youth and again in the trial. What struck you as the change that you observed in him when he entered the courtroom?
So, John, as I said, you know, I grew up in the shadow of Saddam. And for me, when I was a child, he was something like, you know, bigger than God in our lives. And I remember when I was a child seeing him on top of a Mercedes car waving to the crowd. The second time when I saw him was this frail old man, white beard, entering the courtroom. And that court, that trial of Saddam, it could have been another point in which the Iraqis would have learned something about their history. It could have been a moment of reckoning with our history, turned into a sham, into a victor's justice. It was a parody of justice. It actually, what the trial did, turned Saddam from that defeated criminal into a dignified old man, and it gave him the opportunity, because the people who were opposed to him were so bad, gave him the opportunity to redefine himself and re-enter not only the Iraqi, but the Arab psyche as this man standing against the American, standing up against the American.
Saddam is executed December 2006. That alone was a significant report here. What I didn't know until I read your book is that after his death, his body was taken to the prime minister's house, Maliki, who was breaking from a wedding of one of his children to observe the body of Saddam Hussein. The word macabre doesn't do adequate to it. What does this tell us about Maliki? What was he thinking?
It tells you how petty, sectarian mentality he had. I mean, the wedding of the son was held on that day to celebrate the execution of Saddam. And I think there are more details that emerged recently in which the guests and the bodyguards were invited to spit on the corpse, hit it with flip-flops. It was at one point dumped on a pile of rubbish. Again, it is this petty mentality of taking revenge, which had, Saddam achieved one victory maybe in his death. He has, you know, occupied the mentality of people like Maliki, forcing his enemies to become like him, to behave like him, conspiratorial, petty, filled with hatred, and building their own, of course, corrupt mini-states.
The civil war ends with the apparent defeat of the Sunnis, the Shia in control of the government. The Dawa party is identified with the Shia. Sadr is identified as the head of a Mahdi army. And so one observer says we've traded the tyranny of Saddam for the tyranny of Sadr. However, I want to go to an image that Raith gives us that is vivid and scary. Raith, what is Sada, S-A-D-D-A?
Sadda means the dam. It's the fortification around the city of Baghdad built in the 50s to stop the flooding waters from entering the city. It's basically the furthest edge of Baghdad. It's beyond the slums of the city. But it also became the place where the bodies of the kidnapped Sunnis were dumped. I entered that place in 2008. And again, the word macabre is not enough to describe it. I mean, John, imagine a football pitch filled with tiny objects, spoons, bottles, broken glass. Each one of these objects was marking a grave because the militiamen will come and dump the bodies at night, and the locals will come and just kind of cover them with some dirt and mark the grave with an object. So you go there and you see these hundreds of objects scattered along this land, and these are all graves of people. And this is Sadda, and it became this kind of joke, it's kind of a macabre joke, of course. Oh, they took him to Sadda, meaning he's not coming back.
One of those people who didn't come back is Hamid. My notes here says you had a conversation with him in 2007. Forgive me if I have the year wrong. And he was acting odd, strange, pursued. He disappeared. Is that all we know of him?
That's all we know. I mean, when I talked to him in 2007 exactly, he had left his area because he opposed Al-Qaeda and the jihadis in his area. So they were after him. So he fled to Baghdad. But also in Baghdad, the Shia militias were after him. So when the last time I talked to him, the last time I met him, he was very scared and paranoid. His younger brother was killed. He was being chased. And after that, he disappeared. And to this day, we don't know if he was killed by the jihadis, by the Ministry of Interior death squads, or if he was killed by the militia.
We do believe that he's gone, however. Just to note, 30 seconds, Iraqis are leaving the country in great numbers if they can get a passport out at this point. It starts for the privileged and the educated, and they scatter around the earth. They're out there now in the diaspora. Is that correct? They have a moment here where their children will go back to Iraq. I'm trying to be as positive as possible. We have 30 seconds.
I mean, of course, tens of hundreds of thousands of Iraqis fled. I don't think their children are going to Iraq. I think that by 2015-16, another wave of Iraqis were fleeing the country.
The book is Raith Abdulahad's A Stranger in Your Own City, Travels in the Middle East Long War. Maliki is the prime minister. Saddam is dead. The first civil war is over. The second, more horrible ahead. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.